Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Saturday evening, November 17th, live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. Keith Alexander and I have been holding court. James Edwards here. Coming in from our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AMFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've had a bit of show and tell over the course of the first 2 hours. We were sharing with you the song that's been written about our program and giving you a virtual tour of the studio. During the top of the second hour, we shared with you some of the pictures that we found most striking in George Wallace Jr.'s book that he sent to me with a very gracious inscription this week. Now, I'm still getting cards, Keith, from all over the country, from folks wishing me well from what now seems to be a very minor surgery, but at the time was a little more serious, it seemed. But this came in from Bill in Kentucky. As Keith is my witness, he's looking at the card. It reads, "James, I'm glad to see you've recovered well from your surgery. Thank you for what you do for us on the Political Cesspool. Best wishes, Bill from Kentucky." So thank you, Bill, and to everyone else who has taken the time. And that card cost the man $3. That sent him back $3 just for a card. You know, look, that means the world to me. The fact that people listening to the show picked up on the fact that I was out of commission a few weeks ago due to a surgery and are still sending in cards, that's what separates this audience from everybody else's audience in the world. We are blessed like none other. Great people, great friends, and great family, and obviously a great co-hosting staff, and another member of it has now joined us, Keith, Bill Rowland, who, as we met with him for lunch this week, we were talking about the secession frenzy that is seemingly gripping the nation. As I shared with Bill, I had several people in the audience email me and say, "What do you think about this? What do you think about this?" And my initial thoughts were, it's just a flash in the pan. It's just, you know, a knee-jerk reaction to Obama's reelection. Any idiot can go to change.org and get a few of his friends to sign a petition for anything. But apparently, it's a little bit more than that. Right, Bill?
Well, James, I think it is a preview, or at least an example, of what is possible in this country. Now, as far as secession of a state coming about through a petition to the Obama White House is, of course, a bit of a pipe dream. In fact, it's fantasy. However, I do think that what's significant is that so many people signed on to these petitions. This was virtually a grassroots effort, a ground-level effort on the part of a woman in Louisiana. She started a petition on a website that you know, sets up petitions. And the response was just enormous. Right away, people were taking off with this, and other people came up with petitions for their own states, and soon it became a 50-state phenomenon. Now, what is, I think, interpreting people's feelings and their mood right now is what's really important. And what people are saying is, I think, that they are fed up with Washington, D.C. They're fed up with the interference of Washington in their lives. They're fed up with the gridlock in Congress. They're sick and tired of hearing these scandals coming out of Washington and having to do with congressmen like Jesse Jackson Jr., who can't stay out of rehab and is bouncing back and forth to different rehabs. And he's just been reelected. You know, his constituents went to the polls and reelected this drug-addicted moron and put him back in office. And that says something, I think, also about some of the constituencies, particularly of these Democratic politicians, that there is enormous corruption, voter fraud, and a sense of entitlement and empowerment with regards to politicians in Washington, D.C. And I think this is really an expression of outrage with how the government is handling our lives. Now, as far as, again, let's get back to the secession question. What would it take for a state to actually secede from the union? Well, in the first place, you would have to have a governor, for instance, in Texas, someone other than Governor Rick Perry, who, of course, is splashing around now saying, "Oh no, we don't ever want to leave the union." Well, that's a far different Rick Perry than the one four years ago who was talking about states' rights. Well, the first thing that would have to be in place for a state to secede or to consider secession would be a very strong state government, a very strong state legislature, a very strong governor, someone who's going to stand up to the federal government and saying, we're leaving, we're not going to cooperate anymore with the federal government, and who would be willing to back that up, even with the threat of force being brought against the state. I think the states which have the greatest likelihood of seceding, or the states which could secede successfully, would be, for instance, Alaska, which is way off the map in terms of the Beltway in Washington, D.C., or Hawaii, for instance, which has a very legitimate claim to secession because Hawaii was virtually seized by the federal government, and the queen of the island, of the Hawaiians, was taken off her throne and was virtually dethroned. So actually, Hawaii is essentially an occupied country that has just been converted into an American state. So those two states, which are diametrically opposite each other politically, I mean, Hawaii is a very liberal state. Alaska tends to be very conservative. Nevertheless, have the greatest, I think, chance for secession than say Kansas or Wisconsin, which is really very tightly wound in with the federal government.
Well, Bill, that's all excellent commentary to get things started, and you know, as you and I and Keith were having lunch a couple of days ago and talking about this phenomenon that has come up, you know, Texas leads the way with over 100,000 signatures. That is prompting an official response from the Obama White House. Of course, they're going to quickly dismiss it and brush it under the rug. But the fact that it has reached a point to where the mainstream establishment media and the Obama White House, the Obama administration itself, cannot deny the fact that there is enough of a dissent out there that this warrants an official response is profound. And also, as you so correctly mentioned, this is the first time since the pre-9/11 days that the topic of secession has even been available for public discourse. This is, there's something there. And we have a minute to break, and then we're going to toss it over to Keith after the commercials. But Bill, your response to that?
Well, my response to that is that, again, this is, first of all, I can guarantee you that most of the petitioners, most of the people who signed the petition are white, and they're white middle-class Americans. And I think that the glimpse of hope we have in this is that people will begin to think about, first of all, third-party politics, and second of all, working at the state level to put in legislatures who will more strongly advocate a state power over federal power, and who will take the lead in saying, you know, resisting, for instance, unfunded mandates and some of the arbitrary actions of the federal government. So it's of course it's going to be a wait and see situation whether or not this sort of heat and there's more light than heat in this. You know, that it might just be in fact a flash in the pan.
Bill,
but I think it's a very strong possibility it could develop.
Well, if it does, it might take 20 or 30 years, just as our displacement has taken 50 years from the days of Orville Faubus and George Wallace to Barack Obama and Mike Huckabee. Things take time to manifest themselves. We've got to take a break. We're tossing it over to Keith. He wants to continue the conversation with you if you can stick with us for one more segment. Stay tuned, everybody.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from freezedryguy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in four sizes starting at only $100. In all orders to the lower 48, ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign Newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten the free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We got Bill Rowland for one more segment here, co-host of the show, who has joined us this evening to talk about the secession frenzy that has now spread to all 50 states, and it is seemingly more than just a knee-jerk reaction to the re-election of Barack Obama. Leading Republicans in Texas, for instance, have said that we need to have an amicable divorce from the Union. There is no reason that states like Vermont and Texas, who have nothing in common, should be under the same banner. These are leaders of the Republican Party in Texas. So it has grown above and beyond just those who romanticize about the Confederacy. It is bigger than that. It's all 50 states, as we said. It's the Midwest. It's the West Coast. It's everywhere. Now, obviously, it's centralized here in the former Confederacy. These are the states, Texas, Tennessee, and some of the others that are getting the most signatures on these online petitions. But, Keith, your thoughts on some of the items that Bill addressed, and then we're going to toss it back over to Bill before he has to leave this evening.
Well, James, I don't think it's a flash in the pan by any stretch of the imagination. I think that there has been a seismic paradigm shift in American political life that occurred in this last presidential election, and that people instinctively realize that the rules of the game have changed. Up to this point, there were a lot of mainstream conservatives and liberals alike who believe that, you know, there's this natural ebb and flow to presidential elections. You know, sometime the other side will win, then we'll win. The good guys will be back in, whether you think the good guys are the Democrats or the Republicans, and all will be right with the world. I think that the conservative white majority in America, the people who make up what David Frum called the old white party, that's what he calls the Republicans, realize that because of policies like the Immigration Act of 1965 and the open border policies of the Bush-Clinton presidencies over the past several decades have permanently changed America to the point that there may never be another Republican president, and that particularly with Obama ruling by executive decree, as he has shown a proclivity to do, he will undoubtedly declare an amnesty, which will attract more and more Hispanics in. They are the change agents. They're the ones who are adulterating the electorate. They're the ones that are giving reality to Bertolt Brecht's famous comment that if you don't like the election results, change the electorate. And people realize that, like our ancestors in 1860, the federal government is now permanently in the hands of people who don't like them and intend to rule contrary to their best interests, and that the only way that they will achieve self-determination in government, in other words, have a government that reflects their values, their ethics, their mores, is to divorce themselves from the current federal government, just like our ancestors felt the same way after the 1860 election, which resulted in Abraham Lincoln's presidency. And I think because they see that, we're now hearing secession discussed seriously. This isn't some lunatic fringe group that's doing this. These are solid citizens, as you pointed out, people that are elected Republican officials in Texas, for example. And just like Bill was saying that Hawaii has a special status that would allow them to have a more plausible case for secession, likewise, Texas would. Texas was an independent nation, the Lone Star Republic, before they submitted to become a state of the United States. And consequently, you know, they were not just an unorganized territory under the United States, but basically, I don't think there's a weak case for any state seceding from the Union, because it was obviously the idea of the Founding Fathers that all sovereignty resided in the states, and they were just borrowing a small part or lending a small part of their sovereignty to the federal government to run overarching government, but it was to be a weak government, and it's now become the predominant government, and the states have been basically reduced to mere taxing districts.
Bill, your response to Keith's comments and a final word from you with regards to all of the various petitions out there and an apparent groundswell of interest in the topic, or at least the discussion of secession.
First of all, that the secession movement, or rather, let's say it's a state sovereignty movement, really, or a state empowerment move, should be above politics. I don't think politics should be involved. It should be rational self-interest on the parts of citizens of those states. That is, the Democrat-Republican model or the conservative-liberal model or the left-right model is thrown out the door. And the rational self-interest of people in those states is to want to be governed and to govern the way they see fit in terms of their native interests. For instance, Vermont is certainly one of the whitest and one of the most liberal states in the United States. Yet, nevertheless, they have a pretty strong state sovereignty or state independence movement there. And that is because they want more liberalism than they're getting from Washington, I guess. But in terms of rational self-interest, they're no different than the people of Texas who are saying, we've got to get out of the federal government because these federal policies are killing us. The open borders, the various unfunded mandates, and all the other articles and artifacts of the federal government are crushing the citizens there. And they're crushing citizens all over the country. And, of course, the location of a state is going to be very important, because obviously a landlocked state like Kansas or Tennessee or Nebraska is going to have a very hard time functioning as an independent state or as a sovereign state when it's surrounded by states that are still loyal or attached to the federal government. So it's a complicated question, but certainly any move towards the re-empowerment of the state has to begin with the legislature, and it has to begin with a determined effort to elect legislators, state senators, and governors who are going to embrace the idea that state power certainly should be co-equal and sometimes even should trump the power of the federal government. And that means at some point is going to be resistance, some showdown between the state and federal power. And I doubt very seriously that the federal government will react the way the federal government did in 1860-61 by raising armies to invade states. I really don't think that's possible anymore.
We have about a minute left. I was asking you, why is that? I was telling you at lunch, you know, with the precedent that was set, I would figure that if a state should get serious about seceding, they'd be met with the nuclear arsenal. You say no.
No, I say no, because first of all, you'd have some sort of UN interference in this. Very likely other countries would recognize this state, particularly countries hostile to the United States. There's quite a few. But also because of the breakup of so many countries like the Soviet Union, which collapsed and then broke up into various nation states like the Ukraine, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, the Belarus. All of these new nation states were created by the collapse of the Soviet Union and without firing a shot. So I think that there's entirely the possibility that if one state, say Mississippi or Texas or Alaska, were to declare their secession, I think it would be very hard for the federal government to justify, in the light of globalism and the attempt to destroy large nation states, how they could justify an invasion of a state like Alaska. But let's keep in mind that the role model for the United States now is Brazil and the implementation of Brazilian-style fascism or socialism. And I've said this many, many, many years ago on this show, that that was the goal of the federal government. That's where they're headed. But even in Brazil, there is a resistance to this kind of thing that's beginning to develop. For instance, some parts of Brazil are white and some parts are not white, and that friction is beginning to grow. So the model is not holding up even for the United States, and certainly I think you're going to see states begin to get on their hind legs and stand up against the federal government on some level and for some reason, using different, different tactics to do that.
Bill, we're coming up on break, buddy. Thanks so much for your incisive commentary and opinion this evening. It's been our pleasure, as always, when you join us as co-host.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to cardioprim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. cardioprim.com.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the show. I wish you could hear what we say sometimes in the commercial break. Yeah, Keith, all right. Anyway, we can't get into it, but Keith just had a witty comment there, right as we were coming back from break, and he tickled my funny bone there, and so the laughter spilled over into the live segment. But so Bill Rowland joined us, and we haven't posted, believe it or not, we haven't posted any of these stories about all of the secession petitions and all of the very, very establishment news articles that it has elicited because we figured you'd know about it. And so we're talking about it tonight. But if you go to the website and you look up this issue, it's not going to be there. But Bill Rowland joined Keith and I for the first half hour of this third and final hour to offer his take on it. And Keith, some final words from you before we move forward.
Let me say that I, you know, respectfully disagree that with anyone that thinks that this is a flash in the pan or not serious. I think it's deadly serious. I think this is a very, very serious and very appropriate response to the changes that we're seeing manifest themselves in the relationship between the federal government and the state and with the liberal takeover of America due to demographic change. I do not agree with Bill that somehow politics, the political parties, and the conservative-liberal dichotomy has nothing to do with this. I think it has everything to do with it. Most Americans are white, and most Americans are conservative, and they have been consistently silenced by a liberal minority that has learned to use techniques like the power of judicial review, typified by the Brown decision, by other means like media control, into being driven to the margins of American life. Pat Buchanan said it best, as he often does. He said that the dominant culture today is liberalism. He said that the counterculture of the 60s has become the dominant culture of today, and the dominant culture of the 50s and early 60s in America has become the distant culture of today. And that's not because the numbers changed. It's not because most people in the heartland of America changed their viewpoint. It has happened from above. It has been commissared on the people, and Obama and the defeat of the Republicans due to demographic change is the result. And people are looking for a way out of this wolf's trap. And these type of changes, like secession, have a long germination period. We're going to have to be looking 20 to 30 years down the road, but I think that eventually it can be accomplished, and quite frankly, it needs to be accomplished, because it's going to be the only way that the white race is going to be able to preserve itself, first of all, in America. Secondly, that conservatism is going to be the actual governing principle by which we are governed in at least part of America. You know, let blue state and red state America split, and let the blue states be as liberal as they want to be, and the red states be as conservative as they want to be. And it ought to be done. Well, we need to be very careful, because I think that the one way that we might provoke an armed response is if secession is seen as a rebirth of the old Confederacy and of racial bigotry, yada, 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 all the things that they associate with the old Confederacy. So it needs to be handled on a state-by-state basis. And then, later on, those states that want to can form a loose umbrella-type government, with the understanding that they're always going to be free to bail out. But that's something that I think we can work towards. 20 to 30 years wouldn't be a terribly long period of time, but it would be a realistic timeline for affecting this type of change. And quite frankly, that's what we're going to have to do. We've noticed and noted on this program tonight, for example, that in a lot of red states, they have been spared the racial inundation that has happened in places like California and Florida with an influx of Hispanic immigrants. And as a result, they are red states with a majority white population. Tennessee, for example, is typical, I think. There is only one small part of Tennessee, Memphis, and a couple of surrounding counties that have a majority black population. The rest of, or a majority non-white population, let's put it that way. All the rest of the city of state is vastly white in population. And as a result, the state legislature has been basically converted by this awakening racial consciousness that the Obama re-election has brought forward, to the point that there are only 7 Democrats in the Tennessee state legislature at this time. I think there will never be another Democrat governor of Tennessee within my lifetime or in James's lifetime. And because of that, we would very much welcome a devolution of power from the federal government to the state level. This is the principle of subsidiarity that was endorsed by Thomas Jefferson and John C. Calhoun. The principle of subsidiarity, in a nutshell, is that the level of government closest to you should have the most power over your day-to-day life because it is the most responsive to the will of the people. Your local government should have more power over your life than the state government. The state government should have more power than the federal government. And, of course, global government, which is being proposed by all the progressive and liberal, you know, free thinkers, is the least responsive and should have no power whatsoever. If you think that your vote is lost and has no meaning in the context of a federal election, imagine how little impact your vote has in a global election. And you know, people predicted this long ago. The John Birch Society back in the 50s and early 60s used to alarm people with comments like this. They said, "Beware of the one-worlders who think that Americans should live no better than Ecuadorians and have no right to expect to live better than Ecuadorians." We thought that was hyperbole and fanciful thinking at the time, but as we can see, the nut jobs were onto something. You know, the geeks were onto something. These were, you know, the original pencil neck geeks, you know, with horn rimmed glasses like Buddy Holly, handing out pamphlets, having little two-eyelet black shoes, white socks, black pants, and white shirts and whatnot, handing out pamphlets with a lot of Brill Cream on their hair back in the 50s and 60s. But they absolutely foresaw the future. That's what is happening. And consequently, the principle of subsidiarity that the founding fathers loved, cherished, and tried to promote is the way out of the forest for us. And giving, having every state be sovereign and have an ability to basically, you know, opt out of the federal system is, I think, the optimal answer, and it's the only long-term solution to what is happening to us. We're in the exact same situation, James, that our ancestors were in 1860. They see that a hostile group of outsiders is in permanent control of the federal government, and that they are going to be ruled from afar against their best interests unless they do something drastic and divorce themselves from that power. So I don't think this is you know, a bunch of mad hatters or a bunch of, you know, grassroots yokels at all. I think this is the best and the most rational response that you can make to what all the pundits are saying is a permanent change in American electoral politics and presidential politics. And we need to take it seriously and we need to promote it as fully as we can. But avoid words like secession, avoid words like the South will rise again, things like that. We don't want to fall into their trap. And like James was saying before, we live in a new world. We live in a world where Scotland can secede from Great Britain. We live in a world where Flanders can talk about seceding from Belgium and from Holland and groups like, you know, places like that. This is like North Cyprus can secede from the main part of Cyprus. these type of secession movements are not met with an armed response. The only way we would get an armed response is if they were somehow able to link the race issue to the whole matter. So let's don't fall into that trap.
Well, Keith, as we head into our final break of the evening, and when I come back, I want to make mention of the fact that we will be reading, because this is the last time we'll be with you before Thanksgiving. By the time we rejoin you on the air next Saturday night, Thanksgiving 2012 will have come and gone. I'm going to be reading for you George Washington's Thanksgiving Day Proclamation, the original one. But first, Keith, a little fan mail for you. Courtney from Alabama, your female fan section, really enjoying Keith's optimism on the topic of secession. I agree with him. It's an exciting topic. And so there you have it. We'll be back with more right after this. We gotta get out of this place.
Girl, there's a better life for me. Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
The government has spent $1 billion to try to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease. They have failed miserably. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Reverse the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month naturally without drugs. We never get tired of hearing from people that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then find their blood sugar is normal as well. Or can't find their arthritis pain or bone spur. Or they don't need their Viagra and can sleep without getting up 3 or 4 times a night. CardioPrim is safe, effective, affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Friends of Liberty Roundtable. Go to CardioPrim.com and use LRT for login and password. Or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. CardioPrim.com.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the final segment of tonight's show. We haven't had a guest tonight other than the in-house stable of talent, Keith Alexander, Bill Rowland, joining me as a co-host of the show tonight. But it's been a fun show, and it's been a very good show, as they always are in my somewhat biased opinion. But as I mentioned before the break, this will be the last time we speak with you before Thanksgiving, and I want to be sure to offer to you and to extend to you on behalf of the Political Cesspool hosting crew and staff a very happy and enjoyable Thanksgiving with you, for you and to your family. They sure don't make them like this anymore. I'm going to read to you now George Washington's Thanksgiving proclamation. Compare it to something you would hear from Barack Obama now, from the first president of the United States to what passes for the current president of the United States. It's incredible. We've been talking about how much things have changed in just the last 50 years, from the days of George Wallace and Dwight Eisenhower to today with Huckabee and Obama. But listen to this. And it's going to be hard for me to read this, because back then, when George Washington originally wrote this, they used intelligent words and proper grammar. I'm not used to reading that kind of stuff in modern-day parlance. But can you imagine, though, a modern-day politician ever having the kind of character that it takes to deliver something so beautiful and righteous as this? This is Washington's speech on the first Thanksgiving, and it represents the kind of America that we here at the Political Cesspool seek to restore. And here it is. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to peaceably establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and righteous liberty with which we are blessed, and the means which we have been of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the 3rd day of October A.D. 1789, October 3rd, 1789. Folks, we're going to repost that at thepoliticalcesspool.org on Thanksgiving Day, so I want you to be sure to visit our official internet headquarters, our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and while there, it might be a lot for you to sink in, because, again, he was using a method of writing and discourse that's far superior to that which we employ today. But go to our website on Thanksgiving Day and take the time to read that passage with your family on Thanksgiving. And again, here at the Political Cesspool, we give thanks to you, our loyal audience of listeners, our faithful audience. Folks, we couldn't do it without you. And again, from Keith Alexander, myself, and everyone here that's associated with the show and the broadcast and the production, we wish you a happy Thanksgiving. But Keith, your take on that which George Washington had to write so many years ago, October 1789.
James, basically this show and our listening audience and our faithful subscribers, the people that support us, and you can support us just by tuning in. We're the people who are the acolytes, the keepers of the flame for the type of America that George Washington and the Founding Fathers truly wanted. We're the people that see clearly what America's heritage is and what the true course of America should be. What we're asking is for change. We want to change back to the way America was at a more righteous, more holy, and more sensible time than today. We know that all of the change that liberalism has wrought upon America has been a change for the worse. There is no good part of liberalism. Liberalism is the modern face of evil. How could it be otherwise? Basically, modern liberalism tracks back to the French Enlightenment, and the French Enlightenment was decidedly and markedly and predominantly anti-Christian and anti-clerical in nature. Voltaire, the father of the French Enlightenment, used to sign his letters, La Race Infâme, erase the infamous thing, the church. Diderot, who was one of the chief philosophers, said, mankind will not be truly free until the last monarch is strangled with the entrails, that would be the intestines of the last priest. How can anything good come from those type of origins? And it has not. Liberalism is debasing the American people. It is causing us to be promiscuous sexually. It is causing us to be impoverished both morally and economically. It is giving away, like Esau, our inheritance for a mess of multicultural liberal pottage. We've got to fight liberalism wherever it rears its ugly head. We're not going to be sold. We're not going to compromise. As James says, no compromise, no surrender, no retreat. That's the way that we feel. That's the only way that America can regain its soul and continue to exist in these turbulent times. We basically need to do what the Founding Fathers said in terms of foreign policy, tend to our own knitting, and in terms of domestic policy, we need to purge ourselves of the liberalism that has caused great American cities to become smoldering hulks and shells like Gary, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Oakland, California, and parts of Memphis, Tennessee, for example. There are many other examples. We see more and more people that expect government handouts as a way of life. They don't like to work. As somebody said, we have too many people riding in the wagon in today's America and too few people pulling the wagon. Back in the old days, everybody was supposed to pull the wagon. They said, root hog or die. In other words, people had to work for their livelihood. A person that wouldn't work was going to have to sustain themselves some way, and if they tried to sustain themselves by criminal activity, they'd be put in jail, where they would have to work even harder to sustain themselves. They didn't have these people lying around frequenting law libraries created by the government at the urging of the ACLU and other liberal groups to clog up the federal court with specious and groundless habeas corpus petitions. We need to return to America where every pot stood on its own basis, and we were able, as the American people, to be self-sufficient, and we accomplished great things under the government bequeathed to us by the Founding Fathers, and to the extent that liberalism has crept in like the camel's nose in the tent and taken over America, America is going downhill fast, and it's only a matter of time until we are totally transformed into a third world nation. We stand in the breach like Horatio at the bridge to prevent that, James.
Well, Keith, with that being said, I want to publicly issue to you a happy Thanksgiving and to our entire audience, as I say again, and I did just a moment ago. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Be sure to read George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation on the day itself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We are very thankful for you. And hey, by the way, you want to really annoy a liberal? You want to know what you need to do? Go to The Political Cesspool and make a donation to our work. Help keep us on the air. That will certainly do it. Good night, everybody. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Saturday.
To make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.